This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So I was under the impression here when I got in, I was under the impression that we were doing a show today for some reason with Stugatz. Instead, what greets me is the enormous delight of Jorge Sedano joining us very early on the West Coast and just appearing via Zoom just moments ago, like 3 seconds before the show started, looking super sleepy and also weirdly looking like he is joining us from what would be either a toddler's fort or teepee in his bedroom. Is Pablo Torre. I don't understand what's happening here, but before we get to Pablo Torre, he's got... He really does look like he is joining us from a toddler's tent or teepee in his room. Before we get to that, I just want to preface this by saying that Chris had one of his intergalactically bad ideas where he said that we should do stuff related to the jump because Jorge Sedano is joining us from the jump. And Pablo Torre is joining us on the show right off the jump. So what kind of ideas did you have to get this off the ground? This show is self-involved under all circumstances, but what kind of ideas do you have for us to do that are jump related?
We have music accompaniment. Hit it, Roy. Yeah, welcome to Jump Friday here on the Dan Le Batard Show. We got Pablo Torre all the way from New York. He's in a tent inside his in his room. It's a weird look. Jorge Sedano from L.A. It's going well, Dan. Back to you.
Thank you, Chris. Great idea. It is Jump Friday. How many different songs do we have to celebrate Jump Friday from the toddler's tent in Pablo's New York apartment?
Ooh.
Yeah.
There I'm rocking out inside my teepee, guys.
All you need is some foil, though, I feel like, to go with the tent. Is there foil in there somewhere to keep it all together?
I'm sure there's foil around here. I bought all this off Amazon, by the way. Like, I'm surrounded by foam noise proofing because I rented a basement. Yeah, I'm an audio professional, Dan. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe to the ESPN Daily Podcast. This is my podcast foam.
Okay, hold on a second. I need to explain to people what is happening at the worldwide leader in sports as Pablo's career ascends through a daily podcast that he's always wanted. You're telling me this is your audio quality space? It looks like there are simply bed sheets hanging over you. Yeah. And this is where you're doing this for the worldwide leader in sports? You just showed me a foam pad that was red and some sheets from your bed. And that's what we're doing at the worldwide leader in sports? It looks a bit like an egg carton.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the ceiling blanket that hasn't come through yet on Amazon, but I have three walls of the tent working. And I got to say, the echo has been really reduced.
I was going to say, I mean, it sounds great. Like, you sound amazing with what's going on right now. I don't really understand why you have the foam on top of the foam. I feel like if you spread it out, maybe it catches a little more because you kind of have a foam sandwich there on top of what looks like a ring light over your head. But if you turn it on, it looks like a halo. So I like what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I bought too much foam. And so I've just started stacking the foam. And I don't know if that works, if there are any audio professionals who can consult me on this, but I do think I sound great.
All right. Do me a favor, Pablo. Please take a photo so that we're not excluding the audience. We've been a little bit neglectful of the television audience because we can't get anybody in Bristol to sort of go in there and run the TV show during a pandemic. But in the interim, as we take a picture of Pablo's present situation, which is very not worldwide leader in sports, welcome back to Jump Friday.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Jump in.
I don't think that dancing is good radio, but everyone is dancing right now. We are joined by Jorge Sedano from The Jump. And again, this is something of a reach. Pablo Torre is joining us at the jump of the show, right off the jump. I actually wanted to talk serious basketball with you guys to see if there's any kind of precedent for what Giannis does, which is the spin move from the three-point line that ends up dunking at the basket, like in terms of caving in your defense. The, you know, Ben Simmons can do similar type of things, but not that, not the way Giannis ended the Heat yesterday. But before we get to that, just I need another welcome, please, to Jump Friday. One more.
We're out of songs, Dan.
Okay, very good. You told me you had four.
We played all four.
Did we?
Jump Around? We did. You guys didn't have Jump Around queued up? Come on.
No, yeah, or Crisscross.
Not in the system.
Okay. Can you guys tell me, though, because Jorge Sinano has learned the lessons, having covered basketball for a while now. He was ready to start peacocking as a Miami Heat fan on the West Coast yesterday when the Heat were up 23 against Giannis without Jimmy Butler, without Goran Dragic. He had his drafts ready. He was going to fire off tweets. This is where we question and how we question the Bucks, and then the Bucks scored the last 700 points of the game unanswered.
God, it was awful to watch the way that thing, and they covered the spread on top of that. Good Lord. They did that literally in the last 3.5 minutes of the game. Yeah, Dan, I had Heat and five queued up, ready to go in my draft. The Bucks don't want to see the Heat was another draft I had queued up. The other one was, can we just admit, even though the regular season normally doesn't matter, that the Heat may just be a bad matchup for the Bucks? All those things were ready to be fired. What I did fire was the 1-4 series will be fun. The Bucks clearly have the better player. The Heat clearly have the better coach.
Okay, so you did take a step into the hot take emotional waters by doing some analysis on that. I do think it's fair to question the Bucks, though. I think we all have the same questions. They look like they are totally overwhelming. They look like their best player is totally overwhelming. And at the end of games, will he be able to get his shots when he's being guarded by Kawhi Leonard? And is he going to be able to make his jumpers late in games? Because we haven't seen him do that in important moments. Are there any other questions about that basketball team, Pablo?
Can we just wallow, though? Can you, as like South Florida's main ambassador, just wallow in the defeat? Because I follow Ryan Cortez, Parakeet Cortez, for my like heat thermometer stuff. And he switched almost immediately to just tweeting about Rick Ross on Versus last night. Like, he switched off of the Heat game so fast to shirtless Rick Ross getting massaged by an essential worker wearing a mask while bopping. In a way that was convincing, honestly. I totally forgot about the Heat-Bucks game as well. But you got to give the Bucks that, Dan. He forced all of you guys over to a Rick Ross Instagram page.
Not just all of us, ESPN, and I don't know what world I'm living in right now, okay, because things are happening fast on the internet in a way that an old person like me can't keep up. Like, I don't understand why it is that Dr. Disrespect was banned from YouTube and yesterday had 300,000 people watching a gas station for an hour. I don't know what's happening with some of the young people stuff. When ESPN, though, gets into the game from its own Twitter account saying same energy, hashtag versus, and then is going to the 40-year-old rappers of Rick Ross and 2 Chainz, I'm like, what world am I living in when ESPN is going from its verified account saying, hey, check out Rick Ross here. What is happening in the world? It's moving too fast for me. I am getting less hip by the second.
I don't understand it either, to be honest. We did a Dr. Disrespect clip back when High Noon existed, RIP High Noon, and we treated it like, look at this guy who looks like a bizarro Randy Savage in a gamer chair. And I was flooded on Twitter by Dr. Disrespect's army, which apparently is far larger, I think, than any of our armies put together. So this is that thing of like, oh, there's a YouTuber. And oh, that YouTuber makes $20 million a year. What?
Okay, help me understand this, because I feel like we might be informing Sedano about some of this. Can you explain to me? Can anyone in our group explain to me what Dr. Disrespect did yesterday in terms of bringing 300,000 people to look for an hour at a gas station because there was a car parked there? Does anyone on this show know what the source of that popularity is? Is it gaming? Is it young people with gaming? What is happening there that makes this person, who I hadn't heard of until he was banned from YouTube for reasons that I still think are unknown, something that we're talking about right now because, you know, I'm getting old very fast?
So he's a gamer. He streams. He was on various platforms. He was on Twitch and then maybe left Twitch. And there's this whole thing where Ninja, who's an even bigger gamer, he's like the LeBron of gamers, apparently. So, by the way, side note, I was told a story by an ESPN executive at the ESPYs. The biggest star in the entire building was Ninja. Like, all of the athletes, like Odell Beckham Jr., wanted to get photos with Ninja. But anyway, all of which is to say, they're enormous, but even this sort of confuses me.
Ninja was the ice cream on Masked Singer, Dan, so we know he's a star.
Thank you, Billy. The excellent, excellent dismount.
But yes, they have giant deals, Dan. They have like live rights deals. They're all individual platforms. So for instance, if you were a Twitch streamer, Dan Le Batard, and by the way, over under 2 years, you will be a Twitch streamer.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
You will contract exclusivity.
I was looking for Twitch Better Have My Money as a name, but it was taken. Like I was looking for that. It'll be quicker in 2 years.
Dan, I've done some reporting here. According to The Verge, which is an American technology news website, Dr. Disrespect officially did return to streaming, but he is splitting time, Dan, between YouTube, Facebook, and his own site, apparently, if you're interested in his whereabouts.
Thank you, Jorge, for the Dr. Disrespect update. Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Was Dan the winning general in the pastry war? Pablo Torre and Jorge Sedano in with us here. The story that we alluded to last segment, let me just read the statement, okay? Because I was not expecting any of this morning, and I just saw the video, and that, if it was merely a mistake, is a really, really unfortunate mistake. So, the statement from Athletics bench coach Ryan Christensen is, quote, "I made a mistake and will not deny it. Today in the dugout, I greeted players with a gesture that was offensive. In the world today of COVID, I adopted our elbow bump, which we do after wins to create some distance with the players. My gesture unintentionally resulted in a racist and horrible salute that I do not believe in. What I did is unacceptable, and I deeply apologize." Statement from the Oakland Athletics. A's bench coach Ryan Christensen greeted players with a gesture that looked like a Nazi salute. "We do not support or condone this gesture or the racist sentiment behind it. This is incredibly offensive, especially in these times when we as a club and so many others are working to expose and address racial inequities in our country. We're deeply sorry that this happened on our playing field." Pablo, are you willing, having seen the video, to believe that it's an innocent mistake?
I think there is incompetence, which could read as innocence, I suppose. And maybe that's the best benediction I could give this dude. But it's telling that one of the pitchers on this team, Liam Hendricks, in the video immediately violates baseball protocol and grabs him by the forearm to bend the arm to prevent it from being the gesture that we all know. And so I have two kind of takes here, Dan. The one take is the serious one, and that is, your intent when it comes to this stuff doesn't matter. We make that mistake all the time with racism and bigotry. It's not what you intend. It's how the people have a right to feel in response to seeing that, given certain historical facts and conditions. That is so true of various pieces of language, and it's true about a Nazi salute. My second take, which is a little bit lighter than that, is that I thought the Nazi salute had a stronger brand than this. I thought Adolf Hitler had a stronger brand than this. We have spent a long time in sports at this time. I mean, the last 2 months, basically, we've had stories about people not appreciating what a big deal Hitler was. I just grew up, I guess, knowing a lot about how bad Hitler was. In fact, I probably would have power ranked him number one on the list of history's greatest monsters. And the fact that people have him way lower than that, it seems, is troubling to me fundamentally.
Well, help me explain something here. And by the way, that was barely lighter than the rest of what you said, and just not a place where I want to be even close to jokes anywhere around that. And you've done something, Pablo, when you've put fear into me on that.
Yeah, this like is actually making me worry.
Yeah,
now.
Like you should just stay away from that stuff in general, I would say. But what I would ask you as we talk about what is happening in America right now, okay, where You now know that woke and snowflake and social justice warrior, that these are thrown around as slurs, even though those things by themselves, those words are benign. Nobody has anything against snowflakes. woke is just being awake, and social justice warrior would be a good thing in a different time. But it's just code for I don't care or want to hear what minorities or gays or women or Caitlyn Jenner or anyone has to say about anything who isn't me. But they can't say it that way. And so that group will look at this and be like, can't someone make an innocent mistake? That group will look at what happened here as really, we're going to be this sensitive that this thing that the coach said was unintentional is going to turn into a thing that they're talking about on national radio because the woke won't let anything go. Like, what do you do with that, Pablo?
But I mean, the reason why that's immediately hollow is that the reverse is never true, because if you were to call out, or if they were to call out what they perceive to be dog whistles in a different sense, right? What you're really talking about is us. Then, yeah, they will go on some you will not replace us kind of stuff where it's entirely about, hey, we are victims. Victimization is only objectionable when you feel like you are not the one who is being victimized in this particular scenario. But what you just said, Dan, about woke is I think, really important, because no one, I think, says the word woke not pejoratively anymore. I think if you say the word woke, you're only doing it to indicate all the things you said. And it's kind of a reveal. Like, it is its own whistle to say, yeah, I am actually the opposite of woke. And also, because I choose to use woke, I immediately lose all credibility in this discussion when it comes to deciding what is and is not woke.
It is such a good disguise to accuse someone else of snowflake, woke, social justice warrior, and not, hey, this is code for I don't want to hear or care what minorities think or what gay people think or what anyone who's not like me thinks about anything. You can't say that. Not even with all the power that white people have had in this country that has been abused in a way that we're all seeing. We're all seeing the results of that in our streets. Can you get away with saying flatly, I don't care what anyone who is different than me thinks about this, and I'm going to wrap it in snowflake and woke and social justice warrior? I do wonder, though, if you're allowed an innocent mistake in this climate. Like, it's a really let's say hypothetically that the bench coach, that it was a totally innocent mistake, that it just looks terrible. But what you said about intent is also so. You can't, the intent doesn't matter when the result is that people get harmed by one of history's great atrocities.
But there is like a self-fulfilling prophecy here too, because theoretically this could end. Like, this story could end with that apology in which he explicitly says, I am sorry it looked like this. And then with us proclaiming, yeah, it's troubling that you didn't know that it would look like that. And that could be the end of it. But instead, he will be the victim that you alluded to, who can now be the champion of a cause that he did not actually intend to be the champion of, which is the anti-wokeness thing, which is how this all keeps going.
While I agree with everything both of you are saying, good God, I get why Stugatz wants to cannonball during these discussions. Mike, I'm terrified just for all of us right now.
So we enjoyed talking to Tim Kirkchin. We are happy to have him back, even though it's a weirdly mutated season. The Shipping Container is excited about Marlins baseball. Good God, I know you used to love and cover the Orioles, Tim, but the Orioles have been a godforsaken haunted franchise for two decades. And to lose, to get swept by the Marlins when they've got 18, four games, when they've got 18 bodies in uniforms, like where and how can you put that one in perspective for us?
Well, the Orioles haven't been haunted for that long. They made the playoffs a couple times with Buck Showalter as the manager. However, recent few years have been really, really bad, and they're pretty... The Marlins to play the Orioles like that and then win like that, it was pretty remarkable. For the Marlins to be 6-1 is just amazing. And they pitched exceptionally well, and then they scored 8 runs last night. And half the people don't even know who's on their team. The turnover's been like nothing I've ever seen. So they certainly got a lot of help from the Orioles, who did not play well in that series. But give the Marlins a little bit of credit here.
Do you worry at all, Tim, about, I know you don't love these mutations. You like your game the way that it is. But do you worry, or does, I don't even know how to ask the question correctly, the idea that baseball is going to get this money no matter what, even if they have to compromise the integrity of the results by fielding a team that's not a major league team because it has 18 players, and if they lost another 18 players, they'd put a new 18 players in there?
Yeah, Dan, I'm worried about a lot of things, and I'm worried that, you know, owners are going to say, no matter what players we put on the field, we're gonna make money, and that's all that matters. I'm afraid we're going to play 7-inning doubleheaders for the rest of time. I'm afraid we're going to play 7-inning games before long. I'm afraid we're going to keep a guy at second base to start the 10th inning next year also. And again, I'm just an old guy, but I grew up in a different way. And I'm sorry, this is not softball, this is not American Legion ball, this is the big leagues. And even though I'm all for everything that's going on right now,
all right, Tim, hold on a second. Let's get your phone line fixed here, Tim, because you're going in and out, and I want to be able to hear what it is that you're saying. So we're going to try and get your phone line fixed. But, Sedano, like, that part makes me uncomfortable. Like, usually the money in sports isn't laid quite this bare naked in front of us in terms of the grabbing at the dollars and business, where you're not only risking the health of all these people, but you don't actually care what's in a major league uniform. If a team loses 25 guys, they'll replace it with 25 more guys, and you're distorting all the results. Yes, Billy?
That's a ridiculous argument, though, because you're saying they're not major league players. They're undefeated against major league teams. They're people who were free agents, but they're major league caliber players. They're prospects that would be called up to the major league. Sure, they weren't on a roster, but they traded for some people who had been designated. They called up some people early. They will be major leaguers. It's not like they got bag boys or something off the street and just put them in uniforms.
I mean, to Billy's point, though, it feels like the Marlins haven't fielded a major league team in many, many years anyway. So, well, how different is this from any other year?
My point isn't about the Marlins. My point is that if any team loses 18 guys, they'll replace them with 18 more.
Sure,
and
no,
if the Marlins lose 150 players, they'll replace them with 150 more because they want to get to the finish line of the money. Right, Tim?
Yes. Now, there's some truth to that, Dan. That, you know, the owners are really concerned about October because that's where all the money makes. And yes, sometimes I worry that these interchangeable parts, you know, you have to field a real major league team and you can still make money. So there are a bunch of things that I'm confused and concerned about this year. And I just hope everyone maybe learns that this is not the best way to go through this. Seven-inning doubleheaders and things like that. But my fear is everyone's going to say, this is great. It all worked. Let's put it in permanently.
What are you laughing about, Billy? You want all the changes? What are you laughing about? You're going to desecrate Tim Kirkchin's beloved game?
No, I love Tim Kirkchin and I love baseball, but Tim, man, 7-inning doubleheader went so quick. We watched two games in what felt like 5 hours. The games were like 2 hours. It was incredible. Imagine how many baseball games, Tim, we could watch a day if they shrunk it down to 4 innings. We could watch like quadruple headers. More baseball, but less baseball.
Well, Billy, I think you're in the majority of people who think a 7-inning doubleheader is the way to go, not just this year. I repeat, it's okay for this year, but I'm not in favor of it moving forward, and I think I'm in the minority on this. And that's part of the problem is that baseball sees these changes. Some of them are going to work for a year, and they're going to put them in permanently, and I'm not sure that's the right way to go.
Tim, you're one of the nicest people we have here at ESPN, one of the nicest people we know in general. I just want to know if you're okay, simply because I heard this sound the other day of you really excoriating Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, and I've never heard this tone from you. Roy, play the sound for Tim so he can hear himself.
I know several players that I talked to were at best confused by what the commissioner said, because clearly the players are ones in peril right now, not to mention everyone who's at the ballpark every day. It's not just the players. We understand that, but it became more about the commissioner. I'm not a quitter. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where that came from and what he was trying to say. I know he was trying to say,
We're going to try to bring this game through, which is great. But this can't be about him. It has to be the players and the people on the front line, the people who are actually risking things by going out and playing. So I think it should have been more about the game and less about himself. And that's what confused me a little bit also.
Good God, Tim. I've never heard you worked up in such a lather. Jesus. Are you okay?
What the hell was that all about, Kirchin?
That was not that bad. Buster Olney on the podcast, which I do every week, he asked me a question. What did you think about what the commissioner said? All I did was answer the question. I was confused why he would insert himself into this equation when this is about all sorts of other things, the game and the players, much more than him. That's all I said. And if that qualifies as excoriating or angry, boy, that may be a large overstatement.
Wow, way to defend yourself against a rage-fueled diatribe with another rage-fueled diatribe.
I know.
Honest to God, Kirkshin, like, really, that's your defense? You couldn't possibly sound any more hostile or any more defensive than you do right now.
I'm sorry.
Does Rob Manfred look like a limo driver? Does Terry Stotts look like the guy who was at the grocery store just to get away from his wife who was constantly yelling at him? Does Frank Vogel look... Oh, a snort, a delightful snort. Does Frank Vogel look like Jerry Seinfeld's brother, Terry Seinfeld, who works at a car dealership?
So good.
Does Mike Gundy look like the henchman from the movie Roadhouse who's ultimately dispatched when Patrick Swayze hits him in the groin with a pool cue? Does your nemesis, Jeff Passan, look like a sommelier who insists that you order a Sauvignon, but then scoffs in disgust when you order the Merlot like a peasant?
He's a maitre d' at a stuffy restaurant, isn't he?
Does Kevin Gilbride look like the tourist on the beach who no one bothers to wake up despite his increasingly severe sunburn?
God.
Does Bill Laimbeer look like the downtrodden mall Santa who finally breaks and tells the gleeful child on his lap, "Look, kid, no one ever actually gets what they want in life." Tim, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
That anger under control.
Yeah, please. All that emotional hostility.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
I don't think that we have a whole lot better on this show than his laugh. Honest to God, I really don't. No.
By the way, those suggestions were the best I've heard in a really long time.
Really?
Oh my God.
I feel that way every single week on these. Every single week the audience does these so strong. You can write them at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Advance Auto Parts, keep your car up to date by perusing the aisles at Advance Auto Parts. I do want to talk to Sedano about some of the stuff going on in basketball. We'll get to what CJ McCollum is doing with his room temperature in a second, because that one's funny. A very concerned Chris Cody came in today during a global pandemic where everything has been turned upside down and asked the question that I know is at the top of everyone's mind during this horrible time. Is Halloween happening? Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Halloween happening? It is an important question. I hadn't given it any thought. Everyone in the Zoom chat is vigorously shaking their heads. No, there will be no Halloween. Halloween has been canceled. Can I find anyone in our Zoom chat willing to make the argument that Halloween won't be canceled? Okay, a bunch of shaking heads. No, that's fine. We'll keep it moving from there.
I mean, look, Dan, Think about the practice of Halloween. I get it for kids. It's great. It's this, that, you know, like they love it. They get to dress up. They get to run around, get candy. As an adult, like, what is the advantage to Halloween other than looking like wanting to dress like a buffoon for a day? Like, I just am not into Halloween. Like, give me something where I can eat and celebrate. Like, Thanksgiving is a great holiday. You know, Christmas is a great holiday. Give me those holidays. Like, as an adult, Halloween kind of stinks.
I don't think there's any aspect of Halloween that would work with what's going on right now. You have a bunch of crowds of people walking together. That can't work. You go to a stranger's house. You stick your hand in a bucket that a bunch of other strangers have touched. You're taking candy from strangers, which I was taught to never do except one day it was okay, but the rest of the time don't do it. There's yeah. nothing about Halloween right now, especially like I'm assuming Chris is looking at this through the prism of like a father and his daughter. Not Chris wants to go out dressed up as something.
Don't assume.
But if Chris wants to go out and dress up as something, feel free, just wear a mask that covers your face, not like, you know, like a Zorro mask or something. That's not going to be sufficient for Halloween, Chris. But in terms of your daughter, just tell her Halloween's not happening this year.
See, I was one of the head shaking no people in the Zoom chat, but then I thought about it. What is the biggest problem facing our country right now? Is that no one wants to wear a mask. Well, how about the holiday where everybody wears masks? It's perfect. This is how you fool them all. You say, guys, let's go back and bring Halloween back.
Every day. Every day is Halloween.
Every day is Halloween. Yes.
How about that, Dan O'Heady play?
That is a good idea.
Look at him.
Let's trick people into wearing that. You figured out the way, Amin, to save America. What an amazing idea. We have been behind in every way when it comes to this pandemic. Just trick the stupid people while offering them candy. Here, stupid people. Here. Here's a Butterfinger. Here, stupid people. Wear a mask. Wear a mask, stupid people. Don't go to school in Georgia, stupid people. Wear a mask and get candy. We'll give you a treat, a delicious sugary treat if you do the right scientific thing and quit killing us.
Everything that you sell to America has to be packaged. It has to be sold to America. You can't just tell people to do stuff. You got to sell it to them. Halloween is fun and there's candy and everyone loves it. Why not have it every day?
A brilliant idea. You should be like, you should replace Fauci. I'm not kidding. That's such a good idea that you have. You could absolutely flatten the curve with this inspiring idea.
I found this great doctor. His name is Amin El-Hassan. He's got this great idea.
Is that a fake Fauci?
That's a fake Fauci, yeah.
Look, okay, I'm okay. We need to make sure we either need to cancel Halloween or it needs to be what Halloween is. The one thing we can't have happen is where Halloween turns into everybody handing out mini sanitizer bottles. That's the one thing we can all agree can't happen, right? It either needs to be regular Halloween or we scrap the whole thing. We're not doing this like sanitizer handouts.
Leave it to Chris to not want to remove the food part of this equation. I mean, for the love of God.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I also think, yeah, you could just also just give out masks as instead.
See, no.
Like, Lord, you can't do that. It's got to be masks and candy. No,
if we're giving out masks, just scrap the whole thing.
Okay, very good, Chris. I appreciate your insights on this matter. Thank you. I wanted to get into a couple of different things here with you guys, Amin El-Hassan and Jorge Sinano, in with us. But, Tony, you said, and I don't know whether Sedano and Amin are following this, you said that the Rick Ross 2 Chainz versus was the best one yet, that there hasn't been a better one than the one that happened last night.
Dan, I will. And Amin's shaking his head no, and we can argue about that in a second. But there was no better visual than seeing Rick Ross without a shirt being massaged and oiled by an essential worker wearing a mask while Devil in a New Dress was playing. I think that was peak versus of the entire quarantine.
Amin? Do you have any opinion? No, you're just going to shake your head? You know we're on the radio, right?
Yeah. I know.
It requires speech, right? Like, okay. All right, very good. That's Amin El-Hassan's thoughts on the matter. Our thanks to Amin El-Hassan for vigorously defending his viewpoint against Tony. That's a winning argument for you, Amin. You've never sounded smarter. How do you go from having the single best idea anyone has ever had during the pandemic, which is let's trick people with candy for masks, to that? How does that happen?
I'll tell you, Dano, the old switcheroo.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Sinano, are you snorting with laughter at your own Stugatz impersonation? ZipRecruiter, if you own a business, if you're in need of employees, look no further than ZipRecruiter. Tony, you were just as confused as I was why Amin chose that moment to stop doing radio of any kind and just staring at us, right?
Well, Dan, I thought I just got him with such a good take that he had no response. It was no rebuttal to that.
Tell the people about ZipRecruiter, Sedano.
I'll tell them that, Dano, but also I've got texts with Sedano that Sedano's going to read soon, too. Let's not forget about those, all right? I can't believe you said that about Lenny. Mina's going to be mad. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And now for your Sports Center update. The Flames defeated the Jets 4-0 to advance.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because I didn't hear what happened. Chris backed away from the microphone. Billy is a weird shade of red. So now you guys got to tell. Because you can't, the show can't be so inside that only five of you get what the joke is. And I'm not one of them. So you need to tell the audience what the hell just happened there. Who disparaged Mina Kimes' dog?
Amin.
What did he say?
I paid it a compliment, if you want to know. I said, even though that dog is one of the dumbest creatures on God's green earth, it's a pretty handsome dog. Like, Lenny's a good-looking dog.
All right. The Flames advance to the round of 16 after beating the Jets. Damian Lillard, Dame time. Scored 45 points and had 12 assists, and the Trailblazers won 125-115 win over the Nuggets. And finally, baby leatherback turtles talk to each other when they're still in the eggs. Scientists say they coordinate the timing of their hatching by making sounds. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, so Amin El-Hassan and Jorge Sedano are in with us today with the shipping container. No Stugatz. It takes a army of millions to replace the mighty Gots. What happened, Amin? Why are you making the skeptical face?
You know, Stugatz has been missing a lot of time recently, and I'm just wondering, you guys are switching to the two-hour format and the digital hour. What makes you have any confidence that he's going to be around for any of that?
It's a very good question. We will all find out together on August 17th whether he will actually be around for it. But he does say that he cares about the fans, and everything he says is also a lie. So it doesn't really matter.
I was going to say, he says lots of things.
It's about the fans.
All right. I mean, it's fair. It's totally fair. It needs to echo throughout the Grand Canyon, that laughter right there. But before we get to Stugatz's betrayals over the years from Sedano's text, Sedano is going to betray Stugatz here by reading some honest-to-God Stugatz texts about other people, how he mother bleeps them in private while being a fraud. But I want to bounce back and forth between that and some serious basketball analysis from Amin. So let's start with Amin. So we're giving people some of the things, the morsels that they want, and also the Stugatz stuff that you know that they crave. So help me, Amin. In the bubble, what have you seen so far that has changed your mind about maybe the Portland Trailblazers, who didn't even want to play if the games weren't going to be playoff types of games. And now people are excited as Damian Lillard is, you know, scoring 40 and Carmelo Anthony looks great. And, you know, people are becoming Gary Trent Jr. fans.
Yeah, no, surprise is probably not the word for it, because I expected this given that they were a team that was as bad as they were because of health. And because Nurkic was out and Zach Collins got hurt very early, they were forced to play Hassan Whiteside a lot of minutes and, you know, with understandable results. But now those two guys are healthy, and they're, especially Nurkic, such a pivotal part of their success prior to his injury. it makes them the team that's an 8 seed, but not really an 8 seed. You know, a couple of years ago, Kevin Durant made a joke on CJ McCollum's podcast. You know, CJ McCollum said, we were a 3 seed. And Durant said, yeah, but you played like an 8 seed. Well, now they're an 8 seed, but they're really kind of like a 4 seed if they were healthy all the way throughout the season. So you add that with Carmelo Anthony being in much better shape and having a full training camp to get adjusted. And I think the Blazers are clearly going to be the team that the Lakers face in the first round of the playoffs.
Jorge, what is the weakest of your Stugatz betrayals? We will do this in reverse order. We will do the weakest one first. What do we need to know about the this particular text exchange that you secretly had with Stugatz?
Okay, so last week I gave you my kind of thoughts, kind of like a, you know, a game notes kind of version of it. Now I'm going to actually read actual texts here. The weakest one is about Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, so what's happening here? He's watching Stephen A. Smith on television and he's texting you
critique? No. January 3rd, 2014, Dateline, Dan. Dano. So Stugatz and I did First Take that week. And Stugatz texts me the next day, great First Take ratings for us. And I write, really? How many viewers? And he writes, 330,000. They averaged less. This is when it was on ESPN2. And I said, that's nice. He's like, yeah, Antoine, who is the producer, sent me a nice note. We did better than Stephen A. at any point this week. Gas bags is what he writes after that.
Yes, he wants to start the show Gas Bags, him and Sedano. There might be a market for that in some dystopian future that he did. He is absolutely the one who comes off of the First Take set, gets a better number than Stephen A., and then starts pointing sausage fingers at people saying, I could do that job better than he can, buddy. I can. I'm telling you. I'm better at this than he is. What can you tell us about the Clippers? What have you seen from the Clippers?
Well, first of all, let me just say Gas Bags as a show concept, love it. Green light it tonight. I want to see that show. I will be a loyal viewer for that. But as far as the Clippers go, Dan, obviously not having Montrezl Harrell, who is the prohibitive favorite to win Sixth Man of the Year, is a game changer for them. It really does lessen them because he's such a big part of their bench production. Lou Williams just played his first game the other day. He's been, you know, obviously had a rough go of it beforehand. But the Clippers overall, Dan,
All right, we lost him, and I was getting bored anyway. So, Sedano, what was the second of the Stugatz texts that you have there? What is the
championship favorite? I think they're everybody's champion who can go out there.
Thank you. I mean, appreciate all your thoughts on the matter. We will just move on from there to a better Zoom feed microphone. And Sedano, what is the second text that you have that is going to betray Stugatz? How private is it? When was it from? What is the context we need for it? I mean, okay. It's okay. You will have a chance to redeem yourself. Get your head out of your hands. We will come back to you here and see if your Zoom microphone works any better next time. What do you have here, Sedano?
It's actually way better anyway. Dateline, Dano. May 13th, 2015, 4:23 p.m. I was doing a radio show at that time with Mark Schlereth, if you recall, back in 2015. Chauncey Billups was in studio with me. And I don't remember the exact context of who we were discussing, but it seems like Chauncey was talking about a player who has now grown up, who has now matured. So Stugatz fires off, unbeknownst to me, he grew up in 3 months. Get out of here. He's winning. Only difference. Like Iverson. Iverson, locker room cancer until he won. Then he wasn't. I want to fight with them. Apparently he wants to fight with both Schlereth and Chauncey Billups in this particular incident. And I responded to him, you know, it's kind of hard to argue with Mr. Big Shot. And he's like, psh, grew up. He was just suspended for 2 games during the playoffs. Grew up. I'm calling 1-888-SAY-ESPN. Lines are busy, he texts me later. Tell him you're getting a private show from Stugatz via text. Zach Randolph, he was talking about Zach Randolph. Here we go. Zach Randolph became a leader and grew up when he started winning.
That is very Stugatz. Also a stolen take from me. It's not an
I mean, stinking Mr. Big Shot, please. What do they know?
Amin, you want to finish your boring Clippers point?
not especially, no.
All right, very good.
You want me to get to the Simmons one?
Yes, let's get to the best of the text from Stugatz.
Oh, my God.
All right, this is so good. All right, so let's hear this. Should I tease it for the next segment?
Let's do that, Dan, because we're going to need to discuss here. We're going to need to discuss on this one for sure.
Really quickly, Sedano and Stink, that was one of the more creative radio show names in history, right? And that says a lot about radio show names.
Coming August 17th, Greeny will be following us at noon. The show is called Greeny.
Now to the good stuff.
DraftKings, people. What happened?
I was going to say, Dano, don't forget the weenie.
No, there was no weenie with Greeny and the weenie. It was just Greeny. Weenie wanted to get with Greeny, but Greeny didn't want any weenie. That's what happened. I'm not making that up. DraftKings, people. I'm not making that up. He wanted to do Greeny and the weenie. He did. But it's just Greeny. You will see Greeny with no weenie. Noon to 2 Eastern on ESPN Radio beginning August 17th. Billy, help me with something here, please. Amin El-Hassan and Sedano in with us all show here. Thanks to them for spending some time with us, and Pablo Torre and Tim Kirkchen as well. Why were you having the conversation about what age is too old to do a front flip onto your couch? Like, what was that? What was the genesis of that conversation?
Well, Dan, you'll never believe it, but I was in my living room in front of my couch. And stop me if you see where this is going. I was going up to my couch and kind of just holding the side and stretching my back a little bit, kind of squatting down. And my dog does this thing where he does like a somersault sometimes to scratch his back, where he just kind of leans forward, puts his head, and he does like a front flip. And then he like rolls around, scratches his back. So I'm like kind of like stretching my back. I go, man, I wonder if I could just kind of do a somersault onto the couch here, and what would happen. And I was like, well, I'm not going to just do a somersault. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all in. And guess what I did? I did a front flip onto my couch, Dan, right? So I leaned back and I hopped up and I front flipped onto my couch. And then everything was really dizzy for a moment and the world seemed to be spinning because I guess I went too quick or something. And I was like, yeah, I'm too old to be doing front flips onto my couch anymore. And I wonder what the age was where you go from not being too old to do a front flip onto your couch to being too old to do it.
Yeah, that age is 6 years old, that age that you're looking for, the elusive age. How old are you?
6 and a half.
How old are you? There is a child inside of you that is about toddler's age when it comes to this stuff. Put it on the poll at your leisure, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is 33 years old too old to be doing a front flip into your couch?
But your body has to change, right? Because the same thing happens like on roller coasters. Like I'll go on roller coasters now that I went on a lot younger that had no effect on me. And now I'm like, whoa, like what's going on here? Like I'm a little wobbly in the legs. So your body, I guess, goes through some change at some point, right? Where what happens there? Any doctors in the house? Or?
I think instead of turning the radio show into free medical advice, you should go see a doctor about your equilibrium and what's happening there, because it sounds like the pebbles in your ear that are meant to keep its balance are having a little trouble with your front flips into the couch at 33 years old.
In my ears?
Yes, there are pebbles in your ears that help with your equilibrium. Yes. You did not know this?
Ear wax? That's not pebbles. Not, if it dries up, you got to clean it out, Dan.
No, there are. Well, and why are we doing this now? As if it wasn't bad enough that you were asking for a medical assessment before. Now you've dragged me into with a follow up question, giving my doctor, my medical degree. Yes, there's your equilibrium is affected by a sort of things that are like pebbles in your ear. Yes, Amin.
It's not that he's doing bad radio. It's that you're being lured into it. You're actually having a back and forth with him about
that pebbles thing. Doesn't sound right to me.
Okay. You see what he's doing here? He will keep with the follow-ups and he'll keep dragging me into this. And I am tempted to continue talking to him about it, but I am just dying to hear the rest of your Clippers take.
Oh, please
Why
freeze.
Why do you want to do this now, man? I know someone at Internet Central is like, oh, here he goes. Here he goes. Get ready. Get ready. Watch this. 3, 2, 1. They're going to hit the button right in the middle of my analysis. It's going to freeze in the middle of me talking. And then we're all going to have the same laugh we've had for the last half hour.
Or it won't work at all because you're filibustering and now your internet connection is fine. And we're both getting not the analysis I want and not the funny.
You wasted the good internet.
Yeah. Yes, Sedano.
I did find another text from Stugatz about Simmons yes. where he asked me if he – this is a legitimate question he asked me. Do you think I can start a site like The Ringer? To which I responded to, you don't even have 1/1,000,000th of the talent of Bill Simmons. How in God's green earth do you think you could start a website like Bill Simmons?
I think Stugatz's website would be awesome because it would be nothing but like fraud tips and how to weasel out of obligations.
That's such a good website. It's such a good idea. Stugatz having a website where you have to shower afterward because there's just a bunch of stuff there that that's unethical.
It actually could be The Ringer. You know what I'm saying? Like you could actually use that name too. He'd have to try to buy it from Simmons.
No, he wouldn't. That's the whole point of Stugatz, right? Is stealing the name and not giving any credit or any sort of compensation.
He would have The Ringers with a Z at the end.
Yeah, the thing about his ideas, though, like you realize that he is just stealing gas bags from the show that Simmons and I were going to do called Blow Harder. Like he's just stealing the idea. None of these ideas are in any way his. What are you shaking your head no about?
Wait a second. Did you guys have like a penalty flag, a challenge flag, and all of those gimmicks that he has in his show?
He also, did you have a nose, Dan? Like a big nose, a person in a nose costume that would come out and do the smell test? I don't know.
He overheard things being said around here. He steals them. And then he says, while on your text in 2014, yelling at Chauncey Billups, Allen Iverson didn't grow up. He just got to the finals. He was just stealing my take, like just stealing it and making it his own back before these things spread and you could see it more clearly. Like I do. He hasn't had an original thought since 2003.
I mean, could you imagine, though? Like, think about it this way, Dan. Like, he literally sent me a text asking me, a person who has 1/1,000,000th of a fraction of the talent of Bill Simmons, if he could start a website. Meanwhile, he had me once sitting in a parking lot of an LA Fitness for an hour trying to come up with ideas for him for a show he could then pitch to an ESPN executive. I gave him a ton of ideas. I told him, let's do this. Put it on paper. We'll go back and forth via email. I sent him an email that said, let's go. Give me what you got. I will help you sort your thoughts out, to which he didn't respond for a month. And when he responded, he said, looks like we're really rolling here, buddy.
This is like when Stugatz pitched me on having a Sunday show with him on ESPN Radio. He even offered to negotiate my rate because he knew the execs and we'll get this done, buddy. And this is great. And then I didn't hear nothing from him for about a month. And when I did, it was weekend observations with Mike Golic Jr.
for over a year, he pitched a golf show for me and him to do on ESPN Plus.
Is that what he was yelling? Wait a minute. Was he yelling this week that somebody stole the golf show? Is that what I heard him yelling, that your idea, Chris, has been taken by somebody else?
Well, it's a totally different show. But yes, the caddy, Michael Collins, has a show now, a golf show on ESPN Plus. And Stugatz is like, yeah, that's our show, buddy.
Any show revolving around golf, Stugatz would have claimed was stolen from him at this point.
It's so good. People think we're lying. And yet, if I could put anybody who's had an interaction with him in this Zoom box, and they would all have a story like that. Every last one of them.
Dan, he literally stole my radio show one time. Like, literally stole my radio show. I was like 24 years old doing a radio show at 9:40 Fox Sports in Miami. It was owned by Clear Channel Communications. Stugatz literally went to the general manager and told him he would buy my time to do the show. He would pay him to do the show that he was paying me to do. And he did it with toast. Someone named Toast, okay, who was a rock and roll third yes. wheel, you know, classic yeah. morning zoo show guy. Yeah. And they did. They didn't steal my whole show. They stole an hour of my show. He literally bought it from the general manager.
We've come a long way from Stugat stealing an hour of your show to Greeny stealing an hour of ours.